right now on VFN TV, we're going to hear about what does Christmas mean to you. We're going to go all the way to India to hear about what it means. Also, we're going to talk about the Jesus Conference 2018 that just took place here, and some wisdom that came from it as well, from Benny Hinn, also from
Daniel Kalinda.
And we're going to go to Iraq and hear a missionary in Iraq and how he's ministering to the refugees. That and so much more right now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. John.
Hey.
And John's joining me, John Ramos.
How you doing?
Doing very good. So I already talked about what you're getting me for Christmas
earlier this week. The question. What are you getting me?
We've got to move on with the program. Oh, yeah. we got some things we're going to have to do right now. I ain't got time for
All right, okay.
All right.
Well, I can send you some suggestions.
Yeah, email that to, edit.com, and I'll get back with you on that particular thing.
Listen, so what's happening in India?
Well, think about this. You know, when you see, the wonderful citizens, and we love our audience in India. You know, what does Christmas mean to you?
We have a large audience in India.
Imagine going. Yes, obviously, it's huge.
Yeah.
And that you go through the streets and begin to interview people and ask them, what does Christmas mean to you? And as we're hearing this, I want to ask you the question too. You know, what does Christmas mean to you? Let's go to the streets of India right now and hear firsthand what they have to say to the question, what does Christmas mean to you?
With family.
No plans.
Basically hang out with friends and all the usual stuff.
Friends and good food. Yeah.
This year we are going to have a get together with the family.
Nothing much, it's just a time off work, and I'm just going to just chill out at home.
Making cookies.
I'm going to switch off my laptop and carol singing.
To my aunt's place, where all my family is going to be meeting over there.
Those crackers.
This is the time I get to bake cakes and just go caroling and eat a lot.
The carol rocks with the church team.
Is Jesus coming down for us? It's the epitome of love.
I mean, rest from work, just holidays, and just take enough time to sleep.
Love, joy, hope and peace. So this is the time we spread the love which God has given us.
Jesus Christmas.
He's my savior, so yeah, that's what Jesus is to me.
He's a cool buddy.
That's a very big thing to ask, but then, I don't know, he's just like a person who gives you hope to believe in something that you know that there is a good in this world, maybe. Because, I don't know, that's what Jesus is to me.
Jesus is everything to me, man. Like, from day one, he's always been there. So I'm a very firm believer of Christ, and I love him and he loves us. So
he means all, but above all, he's God. He's God for me. He's my friend. He's my savior. And I believe that, he died for my sins. And that he lives. We celebrate his birthday on December 25th. But actually it's every day a celebration that Jesus was born and came into this world. So it's amazing to know that he came as my God and to save the world. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That's so powerful, isn't it? You know, awesome. What does Christmas mean to you? I think about, pretty deep when a friend of mine came from India and he came to eat our diet that we have here, and of course he's more a vegetarian.
He said, no, thank you.
He's like body parts. He's like leg, thigh, the chicken. Like, you want some more chicken? It's like thigh, leg. I don't know, but he liked hot food. It was like very hot curry, all these different
spicy.
It was a great person, very great person. So, what does Christmas mean to you?
Yeah.
I mean, what does it mean to you? I mean, this is the time for us to really help other people because they don't know. Some people think it's about what you can get. It's what kicks in and overdrive in this season quite often is people seeing it as an opportunity to acquire things they've never hadn't had yet.
Yeah.
And they see other people as a source to get those things.
Yeah.
So they begin to strategize and cast hints. I was like, I thought this was about Jesus.
Hints or spells, which one of the two?
Yeah, right. Yeah, literally. And of course, it's one of the biggest marketing times of the year, yeah. where most of the markets live in the red.
Yeah, this is the one time you get in the black.
And this is the time they get in the black in regards to they finally make their money. The whole year. And I think now Amazon's probably making the majority of it right there. But that's just so powerful. What does Christmas mean to you? Be sure to take time this season to be able to ask your children, ask your parents, share around the table. You know, in the time before you open up a gift that you give to each other, talk about the gift that God gave to us, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. John, tell us about the Jesus Christ Conference.
Jesus 18 Conference in Orlando just happened, an amazing conference. But we're going to be hearing from Benny Hinn about why people don't get healed. I mean, a lot of people want healing. You know, they want someone to pray for them and are sick in their body.
Don't get healed?
But why they don't get healed.
Is that the right word to say that? Why they don't get healed?
What's the right word?
I don't know. Why they didn't get healed, maybe?
Why they didn't get healed. But
this is what's keeping you from being
what's
healed.
What's keeping you from being healed.
That's the word. That's it.
There it is. There
I'm
it is.
I'm in the writer mode lately. Well, it's important.
It is important.
You know, because we'd have first had to heal that sentence. No, no, but it's the director.
We have people in the studio, I
it's
see.
It's the director.
We got jokes today. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So this is important because...
Healing comes in laughter, so I guess we're you know...
Yeah, there is. It's
we're
like good medicine.
We're a good track here. Yeah, anyway, like, you want to hear from Benny Hinn because this is an amazing thing. He's known for operating with the gift of healing, but he says there's things that are keeping you from being healed. Listen up.
So my first question is for... my father-in-law. Number one, we know the Lord wants to heal. It's His longing to heal us. What are things that keep us from being healed? We get that question all the time. Why haven't I been healed yet? That is a very common question. What would you say?
Well, I can tell you what Ms. Kuhlman used to say. That God cannot heal people who are all wrapped up in themselves. That, and it's also true, I've seen it in my own meetings, where you see somebody so uptight, you know, begging God to heal them, God cannot get through that. So healing comes when they relax and the presence of Jesus becomes more real than the disease.
Wow. Wow.
So the minute the presence of the Lord is more real than the sickness, they'll get healed.
So for the people out there, people believing for miracles tonight or now, what would you tell them?
Well, all they have to do is focus on the Lord and not the disease.
Wow.
So you have, like, a lot of the people who were healed in our crusades would say to me how when they prayed for someone else, God healed them. So someone comes on a wheelchair and they see somebody next to them on a wheelchair and they begin to pray for the someone else and God heals them while they're praying for somebody else. So healing never comes when we focus on ourselves and we're begging God, please, you know, all that. It doesn't happen. So they and Ms. Kuhlman was right. They are wrapped in themselves. And when they're so wrapped in themselves, God cannot get through that. So He waits till they relax.
Wow.
Forget about themselves.
So
that's
good.
A key, yeah.
Wow.
And the presence of the Lord is the only thing that allows you to forget yourself. So when you see Jesus, you will not see your disease.
This is so awesome. Such great wisdom and so true. I think about, you know, during the Brownsville Revival, when we were serving and helping and the different things that were happening there, that were the world was coming to Brownsville on the Gulf Coast and the city of Pensacola to be able to be touched by God. And I remember I had this issue for years that I needed to be healed in my esophagus area or whatever, where I couldn't eat spicy foods or my body would react. I was in law enforcement, and so... just a lot of issues with eating and just spasms almost in your esophagus area. So I just had to stay away from spicy foods and different types of thing. I would literally be woken in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep. It was almost like having a heart attack.
Wow.
Because it's the same nerves wrapped around your heart. Yeah, it was just major. So I just learned to live with it. So we're serving, we're helping everybody and praying for people. And I remember I was in the balcony one night, and it was just powerful. If you haven't gone yet into VFNKB.com, looked at the torch about all the stories about Brownsville Revival and things that took place and just powerful things, that all of a sudden it just dawned on me that I hadn't had that problem, you know, for quite some time, and I realized the Lord had healed me.
So you were healed and didn't even know that you got
didn't
healed.
Even know I was healed. That's because amazing. I was so caught up in serving, like Benny Hinn's talking about, just serving everyone because you were just overtaken with responsibility.
That's beautiful.
And so I celebrated by going to a restaurant called Damon's at that time.
Oh, I remember Damon's. And they had the
biggest hot wings in the world. They were huge because I couldn't eat hot wings.
Yeah.
And I ate those hot wings.
You're a deprived person.
Oh, my goodness, man. It was a whole new life. I could actually eat hot wings. So now when I eat hot wings, I remember, you know, how God healed me. But it's like Benny said, it's that, you know, not focusing on ourselves and on our sickness. Those are things where God's attacking us. And it's interesting too how the enemy will get you to focus on yourself and the troubles and your struggles and the difficulties and the pressure, or maybe it's depression or whatever. But all those things have to do with self-focus.
That's right.
And you tell yourself, or the enemy convinces you to believe this, that you don't have time to focus on someone else. You don't have time to just pray and,
because
and,
who's
and focus
gonna
on
focus
God.
On me if I take my mind off myself? That's right. You know what I mean.
The breakthrough comes in your life and in your healing through depression, whatever you come out of that, when all of a sudden you just go, because the presence of Jesus just solves everything. One embrace from him, one moment in his presence. I remember this, and I know we got a break, but we were at a Benny Hinn's conference in Mobile, Alabama. And I was sitting to the right of the stage there with some of the parents of somebody that sang, the group that sang.
Burning Bush.
The Burning Bush that sang there. And it was like a metal seating. I mean, it was like right there by the stage, metal seating. And so it's cold. It's cold metal seating. But all of a sudden, the presence of God dropped in such a way that all I could say was, I felt like I was on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was so hot that I took my shoes off and put them on the bench trying to maintain coolness because people beside me weren't hot. Like I was hot.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is this? And the fire was just on me. Fire of God was on me. And I'm just like doing other things, trying to cool off, and you just get so hot because God's a consuming fire, and he obviously he's not burning you, but his presence literally was just, I mean, probably burning all kinds of stuff off of me. But the thing is, it's just that just shifted everything in that one moment, his presence. And that's happened many times where God has just done that to me. Maybe he's done it to you. We love to hear from you. Don't forget to comment below and write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We want to hear your stories about the presence and the power of God, because when God shows up, he just shifts your thought patterns. He shifts what you're thinking. He shifts everything.
It's powerful.
And even demons start crying out like, have you come before your time, right? It's what happened. And then all of a sudden they start leaving and people start getting set free. And it's like, when are we going to have the healing crusade? You just had it. The presence of God was there. And it's like, I was waiting. I was focused on my problem. And it's like, you should have been focused on God because he was here.
That's interesting, because it kind of segues perfectly into what we're going to be talking about when we get right back from this break. Daniel Kalinda talks about, you know, I'm going to be in front of 500,000 people, and I overslept, and then he get a chance to pray, asking the Lord to forgive him. And the Lord has an interesting response to Daniel. You'll hear it when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back. By Bala Hemolele, the Hawaiian Language Bible in a Digital Age.
In 1822, missionaries engaged Hawaiian scholars to take the Hebrew and Greek texts and translate the entire Bible into the Hawaiian language, a process that took 17 years.
The translation of Baibala Hemolele played an integral role among the Hawaiian people, igniting a major literacy development that spread throughout Hawaii, providing a foundation for the language itself to be revitalized and preserved for future generations.
13 years ago, the Hawaiian Bible Project began electronically preserving the Baibala Hemolele in a complete new edition now available online with orthography that correctly spells the words of the native language with accent marks, diacritics, key to the language.
Engage with the Bible in its continuing influence.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we're going to be talking about a graduate from the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, was established during the Brownsville Revival.
Mm-hmm.
It took place on the Gulf Coast that was pastored by John Kilpatrick, and the evangelist was Steve Hill. But
Daniel Kalinda.
Daniel Kalinda. Yeah. Who's a graduate of BRSM.
Graduate BRSM, and then later transitioned into ministry with Reinhard Bonnke.
Who was over a lot of ministry all over the world, but Africa assignment was Africa.
Yes, assignment was Africa, ministry is Christ for all nations, and Reinhard Bonnke, they said he's preached to more people face-to-face than anyone. 500,000 people show up to those crusades in Africa, which is a wonderful...
Thousands and thousands
it's
of healings.
Amazing. It's just amazing, amazing.
One was millions. Remember the millions that was there? One was like waves of humanity and all.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So this is the man that, the spiritual son, if you would, of Reinhard Bonnke, who took on the mantle and is now continuing on with the work.
In the ministry, absolutely. Still going strong. And so they're in this panel at the Jesus 18 conference, and he's being asked, listen, you know, tell about that time when you had to go preach to 500,000 people and you fell asleep and you didn't get time to pray. And because a lot of times we think that it's up to us. You know, we have to be so engaged and we have to pray right and fast right and read all the scriptures and all this type of stuff. And it's important to abide with the Lord, but God's not depending solely upon us.
Yeah.
Listen to Daniel, see what the Lord told him.
Dan, do you remember that... The crusade, and it had to be like 4 or 5 years ago. You were tired, you flew in late, didn't have time to pray, and you took the platform. Talk about that, because I think it ties in perfectly.
Okay, this probably was Sierra Leone, if I remember correctly, and one of those long flights that we were on the other day, and I landed just a few hours before the meeting. I thought, I'm going to go to my room, I'm going to take a nap, I'll get up a few minutes early, pray, go to the meeting. And the next thing I remember is somebody pounding at the door, saying, the meeting started, what's happening? And I slept in. And so, you know, I jumped out of bed. You know that feeling when you get awakened with a rush of adrenaline? And I'm getting myself ready. I didn't shower. I didn't brush my teeth. I just went, you know. And I'm sitting in the car driving to the meeting, and my brain's still foggy. I felt anything but spiritual, let's put it that way. And I remember just praying, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm sorry. I'm about to go speak to 500,000 people, and I haven't even prayed. And I felt the Lord say to me, don't worry. I'm not going to hold myself back because of you. And so...
Wow, thank you, Jesus.
And here's what makes the story unique from my perspective. When I went out there on the platform, Peter Vandenberg, you know Peter Vandenberg, he's been with Reinhardt for 30-some years, and he's still with me at all the Crusades. We were sitting there together on the platform, and there was announcements going on. They were doing what they call in Africa protocol, just recognizing everybody and naming everyone's titles. It's completely boring. So we were just amusing ourselves. You know, we're talking, we're joking. You know, Peter's he's a joker. He loves to crack jokes, and we're laughing. And suddenly I hear just this explosion of sound out in the audience. It's somebody, I know the sound because at the end of the meetings when we pray for the sick, I hear this often. What happens is when a person gets healed and the people standing around see the miracle, they begin to scream. And you know what's happened. You can tell before you even see it. And I heard that sound during the announcements, and I looked, and a wheelchair went up in the air, and I jabbed Peter in the ribs. I said, hey, Peter, that's got to be a new one. Somebody got healed during the announcements, you know, and we started laughing, and I thought nothing of it, and then it happened again, and now it was a little bit weird, because, you know, once is weird enough, twice is extraordinary. Then it happened again, and then it happened again, and by this time, they're happening on top of each other, so that the sound is becoming a crescendo, and I literally, without any exaggeration, at one moment, hundreds of miracles start happening all over the place. Wow. And the sound of the people screaming in sheer just amazement grew so loud that you couldn't hear the guy making the announcements anymore over the PA system. And he turned to me and he shrugged his shoulders like this. And he said, what do I do? I said, I don't know what to do. I didn't start this. So he handed me the microphone, you know, thinking I'm supposed to manage this situation. And I stood up there and I looked, and everywhere I could see, the place was just bedlam. Wheelchairs, crutches, people screaming, their eyes have been open, their ears have been open. And the fear of God came over me. I put the microphone down and I went back to my seat and sat down. For the next 45 minutes, it was without any music, without anyone praying, without any announcements, just miracles happening all over the place.
Amazing.
And I learned something that day about the miraculous. At least I think the Lord was trying to teach me something. We all know that it's not about us. We all know we don't make miracles. But I think sometimes the Lord just has to show us that not only do we not make them, but sometimes he does them despite us. And I think that's one of the most powerful revelations that you can have in the healing ministry.
That's so important. You know, think about Galatia. You know, they started off just because they believed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they got all caught up in themselves and what they were doing. Yeah. And then they started trusting in what they were doing
instead of believing.
And he called that being bewitched, being cut in on, and said, that's not of God. And that it's so easy to do because once God involves you in the equation, you get a tendency to think you're part of the equation versus, like he said, just allowing you to be a part of it, right?
Yeah.
Which just takes a ton of pressure off of you, and you realize that, you know, God's going to do what he's going to do. You know, your job is to be there and to be obedient to him. It's his kingdom, not your kingdom, and that he's going to do show himself. It's his name, not your name.
That's right.
That
it's his people that he wants to touch for his glory. So he can relax.
And that he's drawing them to himself and not to you
to
your organization. It's to him. And it's like, wait a minute, this is his story, right?
Yeah.
It makes me think about what Benny Hinn also shared, right?
Yeah.
Talk about what Benny Hinn
shared about this. God told Benny Hinn.
So this is the same Benny Hinn that I'm talking about, that when I was at that Mobile conference, the anointing of God was so strong in the auditorium. And so often people think, well, it's on the anointing. God does have anointings on us. But I remember even at the Browns Revival, the whole place was just impregnated, you know, with God's glory presence. It was like the river of God just radiating, and that, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick could bring ministers in there just to soak during the daytime, you know, 20, 30 at a time when everybody's waiting in lines outside to be able just to be under God's presence. It's just like a glory cloud would just... Yeah.
think Derek, Prince said that he used to travel all over the world, and mm-hmm. when he used to come to Pensacola to the Brownsville Revival, said it's the greatest place he's ever felt the glory of God. It's an open heaven. It's
and one thing we can do, too, is we can get familiar with not understanding that we're in the glory.
Yeah.
You know, that we're in the glory.
Take the glory for granted.
It reminds me of what Bill Johnson recently said about when he saw a lady, she was getting on his nerves at a particular conference, and you know, he's very kind, but he's just being honest, and he just didn't know her story. And when he found out her story, because Baker, you know, Heidi Baker shared her story that she just got free from prostitution recently.
30 years, I believe.
Yeah, freed, 30 years of prostitution. God healed her. And immediately, you know, he repented. And he's like, God, forgive me because I forgot what the sound of freedom sounds like. Mm. And it's like, you know, when we get caught up in our place instead of God's place in that, and it just puts unnatural pressure on you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to do what God's called you to do, but it's not your doing that's causing God to respond. Yeah. It's God doing it, because Matthew chapter 7 says he'll even do it with people that aren't going to end up with him. Hmm. He says, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers, right? That's Matthew chapter 7.
That's right.
Even though they did signs, wonders, and miracles, God's going to show himself mighty, period. And so I believe this great move of God that's coming, I think what Benny Hinn's about to share is really going to encourage folks to understand it's not something you're working up.
Yeah.
It's something God has been speaking prophetically that he plans to do.
Well, the same thing happens, too, when people get in a prayer line and go, no, I want the big guy there to pray for me. I want the pastor. Don't send me this person. God's going to heal you, he's going to heal you through anybody, right? It's not a matter of the pastor or the evangelist. But God told Benny Hinn in his own meeting, get out the meeting. Kick them out of his own meeting. Listen to what Benny Hinn had to say about that.
I want to say something that fits, because one time, for the Lord to wake me up, he kicked me off the platform.
Told you to get off?
Told me to get off the platform. And I sat down. He said, I told you, get off. So I went off. He said, I mean out. I went to the green room. He said, no, out. I went to my hotel. And the healings were still happening.
Wow.
And people falling with nobody there touching them.
Wow.
They were coming on the platform and they couldn't get. What the Lord said to me is this. He said, you tell them I am now behind the pulpit.
Wow. Yes.
Kent remembers that. And I got off and he kicked me out of the building, the stadium. He said, leave the stadium. I felt terrible. I felt like, you know, Jesus doesn't want me around. And I went to the hotel and I'm on the phone talking to Charlie McEwen, and he's telling me all the miracles kept going on for hours.
Wow.
He said, the people are coming on the platform and they cannot get near the pulpit. They're falling. And later I saw it. They taped it. It went on for like 2 hours or something. I can't remember. God wants to show us it's not us.
Wow, that's so good. Wow.
And you know, when you focus on an individual, that's when you don't get it. You got to focus on Jesus.
When you focus on an individual, that's when you don't get it. Listen, comment below. We want to hear your comments about this. It's exciting what God's about to do. Check out the Lighthouse Prophecy on the torch at vfnkb.com. And also write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we just thank you right now for all those that labor to be able to do this Jesus conference. God, we thank you for those that are walking the streets talking about you, and that you're the reason for the season, what Christmas really means. We pray for a revelation to sweep across the land, Father God, about you and what Christmas is about, God. And we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions.
This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage while we can do anything we want." Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming
His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front line. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.